Stop measuring days by degree of productivity and start experiencing them by degree of presence. Alan Watts. Hello, and welcome to the Femme Fatale podcast. My name is Lauren Kuiper, and I am here to guide you on a journey of self-love and empowerment, to dive deeper into being present with who you truly are, and to create your dream life. Join me as I explore topics that build connection and growth in our personal lives and in the world around us. Remember, everything of which you desire can already be found within. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Femme Fatale podcast. I hope everyone has had a good new year. Well, as best as we could during a pandemic. It honestly feels like this past year has been both the longest and shortest year ever. And I'm so ready to go into 2021 with a fresh mindset and apply all that we learned from last year to this year as we move forward. I wanted to touch on a couple of things during this episode as I've been doing a lot of reflecting this week of my life and the year as a whole. Like every year, I usually spend the first few weeks of the new year creating a list of goals that I want to accomplish that year. Usually they have to do with leading a more environmentally conscious and healthy lifestyle, or learning a new skill, or something similar. However, this pandemic has really reinforced the importance of connection for me, connection to those around us and to ourselves. This year was probably one of the loneliest years for a lot of us. It became so hard to meet new people, and we became more reclusive by staying home. I felt like I missed out on a lot this year, and a lot of my goals didn't get as accomplished as I had hoped due to the global circumstances. However, I was able to learn a lot about myself by being kind of alone with my own thoughts for about 8 months straight. I was able to deep dive into the patterns I hold and what I want out of my life. I learned to show up for myself and get in touch with my individuality and take charge of my life without feeling guilty about being assertive. And although these aren't my original goals, they should be celebrated as such because of the progress that I have made. That's why I wanted to talk a little bit about this productivity mindset that we have, especially in the United States. Our goals are always centered around productivity and what things we can get done. This always shows up in school and work, like what can we be doing to up production, and to a certain extent this is fine, but it tends to bleed into our personal lives as well and create sort of a toxic self-criticizing cycle when we inevitably are not able to meet these goals all the time. The quote I shared at the beginning of this episode really embodies the message that I'm trying to share. Stop measuring days by degree of productivity and start experiencing them by degree of presence. I find that we can get so caught up in the goal and reaching the goal, and we always tell ourselves, I'll be happy once I reach this goal, or I'll be happy once I have this person or made this much money. And we do this to ourselves so often that we forget to be present. And we don't know how to enjoy the journey and be happy with where we are at now. If we can't be happy now, what makes us think that we're ever going to know how to be happy when we get where we want to be? And I know this sounds preachy, but I really want you guys to stop and think. Are you putting limitations or prerequisites on your happiness? And what's stopping you from being happy now? Why might that be? I also want you to think about new ways that you can measure your day that doesn't involve our capitalist view on productivity. I feel like we are often pressured in all aspects of our life to have hobbies that get you somewhere or advance you in your career or grow on social media. For example, a hobby like photography, you might get pressured to post or make prints and turn it into some way to make money. It seems to me that if you aren't turning your hobbies into revenue, our society doesn't value it the same. Even if you spend your time doing things that you love throughout the day, you still might not feel successful when the day is over. Maybe you can start measuring your days based on how connected you feel to those around you, or how deeply you feel that you're indulging in your passions, or maybe even how aligned you feel to your purpose. I know that I will be spending 2021 focusing on how present I am each day rather than what I did and didn't get done. Now, all this being said, living in the moment isn't always an easy task. We train ourselves to always be anticipating the next moment or day or year or even 10 years. When we are young, everyone asks, what do you want to be when you grow up? When we go to school, we are always being taught that there's a problem to fix, that there's always an answer that needs solving. Find X in this equation, or what did the author mean by this? And yes, there's a time and a place for it. Problem solving is good and essential for navigating everyday life. However, if we don't learn to be present and aware, these thoughts of needing to figure something out, or something must be wrong, or I must get this done and that accomplished, they can easily become overwhelming and anxiety-inducing. That's why I believe the greatest gift you can give for yourself is awareness and time to be present. I'm a strong believer that awareness lets us focus on what we need rather than what we are desperate to have. Being present turns our focus back inwards on ourself to connect with our true being, and what I mean by that is our consciousness and who we are at the core. And this can really be a birthplace for connection to ourselves and to others. Now, I really want you to think of a time when you truly felt connected. The peace you might have felt and the calmness and security of knowing that in this moment, everything is okay. In this moment, you are not hurting, you are not rejected, you are with yourself, and you are at peace. I find that it's important to ground myself in this way multiple times a day. I like to meditate in the mornings and at night to give myself that proper time for reflection, awareness, and peace. And what it does is it sets the tone for the rest of the day. It sets the tone of living the rest of the day more connected to who I am. I used to have a bad habit of reaching for my phone right as I woke up. Did I get that text from someone while I was sleeping? Does someone need something from me right now? What's happening in the world this morning? And what I realized is, by doing that, I was prioritizing something else over me as soon as I woke up. That small action was setting the tone for me for the rest of the day, to be more in tune with the outside world and with everyone else rather than with myself. Once I came to that conclusion, I began to start my day prioritizing myself. I took some time to breathe and to meditate. I say my affirmations first thing in the morning as well. I always say, I am loved, I am worthy, and I am enough. I take some time to ground myself and feel centered. What's going on in my life right now that needs my attention? I find that doing this ritual every morning sets me up for a more mindful and successful day. As we wake up in the morning, we lie in that drowsy state in our bed. This is the time when our subconscious mind is the most open, before our day begins to start and our fully conscious mind takes over. It's important to be aware of what we are consuming during this time, as it'll go straight to our subconscious and live there for the rest of the day without our knowing. If we get on social media and see all these horrible hate comments, that's going to be absorbed up into our subconscious mind like a sponge. It's going to dwell back there for the rest of the day or until we consciously go back and process it when we are more fully awake. That's why I like to feed my subconscious mind by looping a few positive affirmations every morning to be intentional about my thoughts. The way we talk to ourselves really does matter, and I do want to talk more about the positive effects of doing affirmations in the morning in future podcast episodes, but for now I can tell you that just saying a few confidence-boosting affirmations such as I am successful, I'm loved, I'm safe, and I am whole makes a world of a difference for the rest of your day. There's also a few other things that I like to do to continue bringing awareness to myself throughout the day, and that's even as simple as just stopping and breathing, or sometimes I close my eyes and count three things I can smell, hear, feel, and so on. I find that having time throughout the day to group yourself is essential to living to a more in tune life. Seriously, trust me and try it for a few days and see how drastically your mood changes and your relationships with others benefit. Recently, I've added yet another way to stay connected to myself, and that is through listening to my body and its cues. This has definitely been an area that I had been neglecting for so long without even realizing it. And guys, seriously, once I started focusing in, I gained so much clarity. Our bodies know what we need and can be so wise, and honestly, I can't believe that I didn't become more in tune with this sooner. I think that we get so caught up in our heads, like literally our heads, because when things are too stressful to figure out, we can turn to our bodies and how we're reacting. Let me know if this is confusing at all, but I'll try to explain it with an example. So for me, I've always had difficulty articulating what it is that I need or want, for the only reason that I honestly didn't know. I spent a lot of time growing up trying to please everybody and become someone who I was not. I think that hindered me in finding my own identity and manifested as a lack of certainty in what is best for me now. By being in tune with our bodies, we can tell what we might have resistance to. If there's something that really isn't good for us, it's not uncommon to have a really strong negative reaction to it. It's important, though, to use your intuition to discern if it's really something you shouldn't be doing or if it's fears and your ego getting in the way. Like, if you know you are afraid, but deep down you know that you need to follow through with the plan, then that's a different story. Like, if you want to go to therapy to work through some inner child trauma and you have resistance because, of course, it's scary and uncomfortable, that's a lot different than continuing to stay in a relationship that is toxic and doesn't serve you when you know you should have better for yourself. And I think this can really help us separate from our ego selves and our authentic self, like I talked about in the first episode. From this point on, we can begin to ask ourselves deeper questions and answer truthfully rather than a response that is clouded by our ego. We can ask questions to ourselves based out of love and not fear, because in the present moment, everything is okay. On the topic of connection and feeling connected to ourselves, I wanted to touch on connection with others, as I believe the two go hand in hand. To build a solid and amazing connection with people around you, I'm a firm believer that you need to have a level of connection with yourself first. Having meaningful connections with others can sometimes be frightening and take a lot of confidence. There's a level of vulnerability that needs to be present to connect at a deeper level. One of my favorite quotes is, "The quality of your life is a direct reflection of the quality of the questions you are asking," from Anthony Robbins. I like to think that this applies perfectly to our relationships. The quality of your relationships is a reflection of the questions you ask. It takes a level of vulnerability to go beyond small talk. You will definitely leave an impression by diving just a little bit deeper. General questions are good in their own ways, like if you're just getting to know someone casually, but I find that there can be a lot more we can relate to when we ask probing questions. For example, asking, "What do you do for work?" will usually end up in a dead-end answer. If you don't have any relation to the profession that they say, there isn't much room to create more of a personal question. If you instead ask something like, "What made you choose your profession?" or "What about where you are now?" is different than where you thought you'd be as a kid. The right questions, however, are only as good as how you react to the response. A good rule of thumb to follow is to listen like you're going to tell your best friend what the person said. Sometimes when we are really nervous, and I know this has happened to me, we focus so much on saying the question correctly with the right tone and phrasing that we zone out the response of the other person, and it can lead to somewhat of an awkward situation. But the good thing is, the more you practice asking these probing questions, the more natural it'll come for you. I think one major block that can come up is the fear of being rejected. Like I had mentioned, it takes a level of vulnerability for a more connected or intimate conversation, both for the one asking the question and the one answering. Have you ever gotten done sharing an exciting or really sad story and the person that you're telling it to hits you with a, "Haha, damn, that's so crazy"? That doesn't feel the best. That can make us feel like the other person isn't interested and leaves us feeling a bit rejected. I think that one of the easiest ways to build a connection with someone is matching their energy. If someone is telling you an exciting story, get excited with them. If it's a sad story, feel their sadness with them. You don't have to go overboard with this either, but simply showing the other person that they shouldn't regret taking off their mask will go a long way. A good way to create this safety is by leading by example. Some people aren't ready to be so open, and that's okay. Sharing something vulnerable on your end can show the other person that it's safe to go to that place with you, and there won't be any judgment for it. But what if you don't agree with what the other person's saying? That's okay. There's no need for you to fake it. It's unrealistic to go around thinking that every conversation will lead to an amazing connection, or you will agree with someone on every single point they make. But I do think that it's still important to hold that space for them regardless, to come from a place of understanding rather than looking to be understood. Especially in disagreements or arguments where we're always taught you need to stick up for yourself, which is true, that's absolutely true, but a lot of times the media portrays that as yelling at or mocking or stonewalling the other person, which if you really want to get your way in an argument, that's not the route to take. If the other person feels understood, they will be more willing in turn to understand you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Femme Fatale podcast. I know that it was a little shorter than normal, but I hope you were still able to relate to and gain something new from this episode. If you have any questions for the podcast and any suggestions, please feel free to leave a review. And as always, have a wonderful day.